Well, we've just gone through, phrase by phrase, Paul's letter to the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ in the province of Galatia, who consisted mostly of Gentiles. The reason why Paul wrote the letter was because these Gentile Christians were in the process of being persuaded to leave the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for that reason, Paul, in the first two chapters, defends his apostolic authority. The reason why he defends his ministry is he needs to defend the gospel that he preaches. If the false teachers could persuade the Gentile Christians in Galatia that Paul's ministry was invalid, then they could easily persuade the Galatian Christians that the gospel that he preached was also invalid. So Paul spent two chapters on this issue. Chapters 3 and chapters 4 are more theological. Paul gets into the theological discussion to prove, and also prove from the Old Testament scriptures, that his gospel makes perfect sense in the light of Old Testament scripture. Because, of course, the false teachers would be leaning heavily on the Old Testament and the law of Moses, including the book of Genesis, where we see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Paul actually gets into the life of Abraham in his allegory in chapter 4. Chapter 4, in my opinion, is one of the devastating blows that Paul makes. In chapter 4, he speaks to these Gentile Christians and reminded them that they were once slaves to polytheistic paganism. And he then goes on to say, if you give yourselves to the law of Moses, you will enslave yourselves again, not in polytheistic paganism, but you will enslave yourselves to the law of Moses. Simply put, Paul is lumping, he's placing the law of Moses in the same boat as polytheistic paganism. No wonder he was being persecuted. The God of the Jews, Yahweh, throughout the centuries in the Old Testament, continually told Israel to obey the law of Moses or else. And now Paul is saying the law of Moses is laid aside. If you give yourselves to the law of Moses, then you give yourselves to slavery, just as you did when you were a polytheistic pagan. And furthermore, in chapter 5, he says, if you give yourselves to the law of Moses, you have alienated yourselves from Christ, and you have fallen from grace. These are devastating words. And after Paul says you have fallen from grace, in the midst of those words, actually, he pleads with the Galatian Christians as a parent. He actually uses the analogy of a mother, and he says he is in pain, just as if a woman is in pain in childbirth. Paul is experiencing great pain. Once again, he says he's experiencing this pain. That tells us that when they first became Christian, he experienced pain. Pain of childbirth, pain of bringing forth polytheistic pagans into the kingdom of God. It was not an easy process for Paul. And now he was feeling like he had to go through it all again, because these Galatian Christians, they were being tempted, persuaded to give their lives to the law of Moses, Paul was fearing for their very salvation. Then in chapter 5, Paul speaks of the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And basically he's saying, the fruit of what I am saying is that you received the Holy Spirit in order to bear fruit. And he lists the fruit. He tells the Galatians, if you live by the Spirit of God, you will not fulfill the lustful desires of the flesh. And he lists a number of them in chapter 5. The reason why he even brought up the subject of the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit is that the false teachers would have told the Galatians, if you disobey the law, then what you will end up doing is living by your sinful nature. In order to stop living by your sinful nature, you need to obey these laws. Paul is saying it doesn't work that way. In order to stop living by the sinful nature, you do not give yourselves to the law of Moses. You give yourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, who in turn will give you the Holy Spirit, who will dig deep into your spirit and cause you to bear fruit, fruit of the Holy Spirit, that will enable you not to live by the sinful desires of the flesh. That's how Paul ends his letter, other than the very concluding remarks when he says, listen to me, I bear the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ in my very flesh. Look at me, I've got the scars. Now, I believe the book of Galatians is extremely important. It was the most important book in the Bible in the Reformation movement. It was the book of the Bible that caused Martin Luther to finally understand what faith in the Lord Jesus Christ really meant. It's a very important book for our day as well, because we have a lot of false teaching floating around churches these days. Even in evangelical circles in the past, maybe not as much so now, but in the past, growing up in evangelical circles, I believe I was taught faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone saves you, but obeying certain rules keep you saved. Certain rules like don't ever go to a movie theater, don't play cards, but do this and do that instead. That is saying exactly what the false teachers in Galatia were saying. If any evangelical Sunday school teacher in the past told you as a child growing up in the evangelical church, faith in Jesus saves you, obeying these rules that we teach you keeps you saved, well, that was really, in Paul's word, another gospel. We should fear for the salvation of the person who would say that. I know these are harsh words, but if you understand the book of Galatians, you will understand what I am saying. Another very important reason for the book of Galatians today is the move amongst certain Christians to revert to the Jewish origins or roots of the church, as they say it. I don't say it that way. But what these people want us to believe and do is go back to what they would call the Jewish roots of the church, meaning Judaism, meaning the law of Moses still applies to us today and we need to obey it. Now, within this movement, there are certain degrees from one extreme to another. There are people, a matter of fact, a man has told me that I am a non-Christian heretic because I don't even say, well, basically, because I say God, Lord, Jesus, and Christ, I should be saying the Hebrew words. Beyond that, I should be obeying the law of Moses as it is written. Well, if Paul was here today, he would be standing up to these people, and he would be saying, as he says in Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law, and as he says in Colossians 2, that the law has been nailed to the cross along with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is no longer in existence for us to submit to. A matter of fact, it is no longer in existence. If there is yet a reason for the law in today's world, it is purely prophetic because it does speak prophetically. It speaks prophetically of everything concerning Jesus and Israel, even up to the end of this age. In my thinking, that is the only reason for the law of Moses today. For any purpose of salvation, it is gone. For any purpose to submit to or try to follow, that's gone. If somebody says, I need to obey the law or else I will feel guilty, that person has a problem because the law is not there to be obeyed. We can learn some things from the law of Moses, but it's not there to be submitted to. As a matter of fact, I know people who want to obey the law of Moses, so I ask them right away, well, do you worship on Saturday or Sunday? If they say Sunday, they've just broken the law. And as we have learned, if you break one law, you break the whole law. You can't even keep the tithing rules. There's one tithing rule that says, kill your animal, take the animal to the temple. If you're too far away and you can't do that, sell the animal, buy a bottle of wine, take the wine to the temple and celebrate with the wine. I doubt if any evangelical is going to do that. Simply the point is this. For those who even want to try to submit to the law of Moses, they can't. Paul couldn't. The Jews couldn't. So how do you expect anybody today to do it? You just can't do it. Besides, it's not there for us to submit to anyways. I first began to study the book of Galatians as I read it in the early 1970s when I was in Bible school at Elam Bible Institute, Lima, New York. I took a class on the book of Galatians. I have been studying the book of Galatians ever since. In 2003, the Bible study group that I lead, we went through the book of Galatians. I wrote my commentary then. In 2010, I edited my commentary in the book of Galatians. In 2011, the Bible study group that I lead, we went through the book of Galatians again and learned so much more. And I have since re-edited my commentary on the book of Galatians. What I have said on these CDs and what I have written in my commentary is the result of 40 years of studying the Bible. I have used such sources for this commentary as F.F. Bruce's book entitled Paul the Apostle with Heart Set Free. I've used commentary by Linsky. I've used a number of commentaries. I've listened to such people on the internet as Bob Utley, a Southern Baptist theologian who knows Greek and Hebrew quite well. I've listened to many people, including Chuck Misler. I've listened and read both sides of the issues when it comes to the book of Galatians, for example, Israel. I've done Greek, Hebrew word studies. I have certain books and tools where I can learn what the Greek word means and in the context of what it means. I say all that to say this, that I have done much study on the book of Galatians, probably more than any other book in the Bible. And the conclusions that I have come to, I feel very strong about. The book of Galatians must be understood in today's church. It's very fundamental. If you do not understand the book of Galatians, you will not fully understand what the Christian life is all about. May the Lord Jesus Christ help you understand His word. In closing, consider what I say, and the Lord give you the understanding in all things.